efforting John Perotto, even as we speak. What a segment that was. A lot of reaction from the texters and the tweeters who seem to be angrier at limits than they are at me right now, which is good. The mummy sound also was a big hit. When were yes. How long ago would this have been? If that
it's so funny. Every time I hear it.
If that was an actual if it was an actual mummy, like when were mummies really popular?
Probably about 10,000 years ago, maybe.
Oh no. We're really digging a hole for ourselves if we don't look this up. Was it when did humans first arrive, limits?
Oh, we're talking a long time ago.
My sense of time is very skewed. I don't know. I'm going to look it up. When were mummies popular before? Is Perotto on the line?
Mummification was made as early as 3500 BC in ancient Egypt.
Yeah.
So we're talking like, what, 5,000 years ago?
Yeah. Well, you're only off by 5,000 years.
Yeah, not too long ago.
Close enough for me.
But now there's somewhere else that says in South America, mummies are dating back 7,000 years.
Yeah. Actually, you had a good guess then.
Yeah.
So the sound of this is instead of a bell ringing every time there's a trade in Major League Baseball today, and the deadline is 6 p.m., we're going to have what the mummy, his first reaction to waking up after, well, 7,000 years.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Why is the mummy just automatically yelling and not like saying something?
Because he sees everything around him.
That's fair.
Can you imagine the surprise?
So he wakes up and, you know, right. Can you imagine he sees like Crowley and he just goes, ah!
Right.
Or a phone or something. I mean, television, whatever. It would be very alarming.
Could you imagine trying to teach a mummy like all the basic necessities of everyday life in 2025?
Again,
so,
it would
Mr.
be,
mummy,
again, it
here's
would be,
a phone.
It would be like teaching Ron all of that. That's why I think that's Ron's voice.
Mummy, you don't have to go hunt for your food. You could just go down the street to slice on Broadway.
Exactly.
Oh!
Mummy, it's been 7,000 years, and the one thing you won't be surprised at is the Pirates still aren't winning.
Oh!
What sports
why
did
does
they
that
have
voice
7,000 years
make
ago?
Make me laugh. That's a great
question.
What do
you think they played back then?
Some form of golf. Wouldn't you do it with a stick and a pebble or something and try to hit it into the creek?
They definitely did something with slingshots.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a big upset you might have heard. David and Goliath.
Or cave carving.
Ron had the only interview, one-on-one interview with David after that. Nobody thought you could do it,
what did
Dave?
Goliath have to say?
He let Goliath go in that one. I mean, you're right about slingshots. Was that the first sport? And was it to the death?
Remember, there was Roman gladiators that would fight to the death in the Colosseum.
But like the first people, cavemen, was it let's go out and have a little fun game of slingshot and whichever one dies first loses?
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, sports were literally, you were fighting to the death. Like, seriously, let's go put an entertainment battle out there. If you win, you get to stay living. And if you lose, it's over for you.
The stakes were high. But the life expectancy back then was like 11, wasn't it?
It was very, very young, yeah. Because, I mean, think about people that signed the Constitution. Like, members of the people that signed the Declaration of Independence and our Founding Fathers, they were like, if you look at their ages, 18,
right.
24.
That was Ron's first assignment.
Could you imagine me signing the Declaration of Independence all those years ago, 250 years ago?
We have Thomas Jefferson here.
Quincy Adams, please sign this.
And Craig Adams, he covered both of them. Ron's, love that guy. Ron's career spanned from John Adams to Craig Adams of the Penguins. Where's Perotto? Huh?
He tried to jump on video, but now I'm just going to
just have him on the phone then, limits. This is getting to be ridiculous. You know my stance. They need to trade Mitch Keller. They need to trade Bednar. And I love Bednar. But that position naturally is just, it's mercurial when you're a closer. You're as we've seen very graphically with Bednar, you're up and down, up and down. And you can find people. The one thing that the Pirates have been able to do in this never-ending stretch of misery, which has been the, well, I shouldn't say never-ending. They did have a little blip there. Of the 21st century is find closers. You can find these guys. All right, let's go to Parado. He is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Johnny, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. Good to talk with you, too. How are you?
I've never been better, and I value your inquiry. We have a 6 p.m. deadline here today. Let's start with Key Brian Hayes. What did you think of them being able to trade him, and how do you look back on the Key Brian Hayes era?
Well, the surprising part for me was they were able to get the Reds to take on the rest of his contract. I thought if they were going to trade Key Brian, they were going to have to eat a little bit of that contract at least, but they were able to do that. It just didn't work out. It's kind of like I wrote in my column for Pittsburgh Baseball Now. Some relationships just run their course sometimes. No acrimony, no arguments or anything. I think Key Brian got frustrated here. He butted heads with the hitting coaches sometimes. And I think the Pirates knew they needed somebody. I mean, he's hit 6 home runs in the last 2 years combined. And you need more than that from your third baseman, even though he's a terrific defender. I mean, you can't go with that lack of production. So I think it benefit both sides. The Pirates probably wait to the offseason. They need to go out and get a third baseman. I'm not a big Jared Triolo everyday guy. But I think Key Brian definitely needed a change of scenery, and we'll see how it works for him in Cincinnati.
Had you ever before Key Brian seen somebody in all these years covering the Pirates have a meal during live play, Johnny, like he did when he opened the pack of sunflower seeds with a man running behind him? That was a first for me.
No, that was not a real good look. And, I know the Pirates downplayed it and said it was no big deal, but Derek Shelton downplayed everything like that and said it was no big deal when he was the manager. He just seemed disengaged a lot of times. And I like Key Brian. He's very quiet. He's a little hard to get to know. But, I had a relationship with his father when his dad played here. So that kind of helped break the ice when Key Brian first came into the organization. But he's just very quiet. He's very hard to read. But you could just tell the few times that he was even in the clubhouse when the media was allowed in this year, he just looked like he was miserable, like it was time to move on.
Mm. All right, so I think of Neil Walker's career. He goes from catcher to third. And I remember visiting him at Indy and doing a piece on him and McCutcheon where they were down there. And the word was he was ready defensively at third base. Then he switches to second base. So I'm wondering, that leads me to, are there people in this organization, I don't know, Nick Gonzalez, Termar Johnson, Connor Griffin, someone else you can think of, where they can reconfigure the infield and find a third baseman that's already in their organization and somebody else to play short and somebody else to play second?
I think Nick Gonzalez could play third base. I really do. He's got a pretty good arm and he's got quick reflexes. They have a bunch of, maybe Leover Peguero could be a possibility. I know these aren't like very exciting names, but Nick York, another guy who looked good in a little bit of time. He was up in the big leagues at the end of last year, but it's fallen off the face of the earth, it seems like, at Indianapolis this year. He's another possibility. So they have possibilities. Triolo would be at the top of the list, and I'm not sold that he's an everyday third baseman. He's really kind of like Key Brian Hayes light, a good defender that doesn't hit. So I think it's a position they're probably going to have to address, if not here at the deadline today, certainly in the offseason.
Talking to John Parado, longtime baseball scribe, about the trade deadline. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Johnny, should they trade Bednar and Keller in pursuit of bats? And a very different question is, will they trade one or both?
I think Bednar is more likely to go because you have a lot of teams still interested in him. I know the Rangers are very much feel he could be the last piece for them. They've really come after a bad first half. They've really been good since the All-Star break and got back in the thick of the race in the American League, both in the West Division and the wild card. The Yankees are interested, the Dodgers, the Tigers. I mean, they're the Padres. The Padres were, I should say, that they just got Mason Miller from the Athletics here a few minutes ago. So, I mean, there are teams out there that want him. It's a matter of Ben Cherington can get them in a bidding war and get as much as they can for him. Personally, I'm not really sold on trading a top flight closer, and especially a local guy who's a big fan favorite. I mean, you put your fans through so much disappointment all the time. Why not latch on to somebody who actually wants to play in Pittsburgh? But I get the feeling Keller's not going to be traded unless somebody really bowls the Pirates over right at the deadline at 6 o'clock or right before six. I get the feeling, talking to people from other teams, the Pirates aren't very keen on trading him. But I'll put all this with the caveat, as always, things are so subject to change from a minute to minute here in these last few hours before the deadline that you can never truly predict what's going to happen.
Would you trade Keller? I suppose it depends on what he can fetch. But if he fetches you, we were talking about Yandy Diaz. We were talking about Stephen Kwan. We were talking about guys blocked in AAA like Owen Casey or, I don't know, Spencer Jones from the Yankees. Somebody of that ilk. Would you trade Keller?
I mean, Toronto has an interesting guy in Addison Barger who can play all over. And he's had a really good year. And I know the Blue Jays We're interested in Keller quite a bit, though I don't know if that has changed because the Blue Jays here about an hour ago got Shane Bieber from the Guardians, so they're probably out of the market now for any more starting pitchers. So, yeah, I mean, you've got to get some bats back. And, I mean, guys who can make an impact, you know. And, I mean, like for next year, the very latest. And, you know, if you don't get what you want for Keller, I'd hold on to him and try again in the winter. You know, a lot of teams would still be interested in him, maybe even more teams that aren't in contention now that feel they can be in contention in 26. And again, he's got 3 years and $56 million left on his contract. And for most teams, that's not that big of an expenditure for a guy who's a number two or number three starter.
Limits, I would hate to leave you out of this conversation.
Thank you, Joe. A question about Bednar here, Johnny. I wonder what they could realistically get back for him. If they package Bednar and Santana together, do you think that they could acquire like a hitter like Casey or somebody who's knocking on the door in AAA or maybe somebody that's been in the big leagues for a year but hasn't played that long, similar to Spencer Horwitz, but a better player than Horwitz with a better profile?
Yeah, I think it's a possibility if they package them both. I don't think they'll get that one player straight up in a trade for either Bednar or Santana. But, you know, the team that seemed most likely to trade for both of them were the Phillies. They've been scouting them heavily for a couple of months now, the Pirates bullpen. And now the Phillies went out and got Johan Duran yesterday from the Twins. So now their need for relievers is no longer so acute. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they get. Again, they're not forced into trading either one of these guys. They both are under club control, in Bednar's case for one more year and Santana for three. So, you know, if I'm Ben Cherington, I don't panic and just say, hey, I have to get rid of these guys. I'm going to take whatever I can get. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It'll be, it was last year a very eventful last couple hours for the trade deadline for the Pirates, and we'll see if that happens again this year. I think it could. But again, and you know, I always stress this, there's so many moving parts in on this day that it's hard to truly know for sure what's going to happen.
Johnny, I've been saying, writing for a while, that Ben Cherington might be the worst general manager in the history of Pittsburgh sports. I'm assuming that you thought he should have been fired along with Derek Shelton. Am I correct in that?
I thought it should have been at the end of last season.
Yeah.
And when they waited and they got rid of Shelton 38 games into this year, you basically punted on this season. I think Don Kelly's done a good job as Shelton's replacement, but you punted on this season. And now I'm not 100% convinced that Cherington won't be the general manager next year. I would think that Bob Nutting would want to move on, but I'm getting vibes that it's not necessarily a done deal, and he could be back in 26, which, off his track record here, I mean, you're going to set yourself back another year in 26. So I think they need to make a change in the baseball operations. I really, really do. And I do hope if the next GM, if there is a next GM, would give Don Kelly a fair shot, you know, to manage or at least, you know, interview for the job instead of immediately just saying, I want my own guy.
How long is Cherington signed for? Do you know?
There's conflicting reports on this. I believe, and they keep this a guarded secret, which I don't understand, but I believe he signed through 27, so you'd have to pay him 2 years of salary if you fire him at the end of the year, which, I mean, at some point you just have to kind of cut bait and do it. And I, you know, Bob Nutting is very conservative when it comes to making moves like this, and I think it's not just a money thing sometimes. He's a very loyal person. He likes people who are loyal to him, and Cherington has never complained about the lack of money or what have you from Nutting. So I think that's why Cherington could be back next year, because I think Bob genuinely likes him, and I think Nutting still thinks there's a chance that Cherington can turn this thing around, though I certainly think it's a slim chance.
Limits, may I engage Johnny in a game of free association?
Please.
Johnny, you know how it goes. Very quick questions, yep, and very quick answers. Even one word, should you choose to use that. You ready?
Yep.
Cherington will be back next year.
No.
Don Kelly will be back.
Maybe.
Ooh. Am I crazy if I say the rotation will be Skeens, Chandler, Oviedo, Falter, and either Burroughs or Ashcraft?
I think Keller will be there.
Okay.
But the rest all are, yeah, certainly candidates.
Spencer Horwitz is the answer at first base.
No.
Do they address that this offseason?
They never have any other offseason, so I would leave it at that.
How would you classify Henry Davis at this point?
Perplexing.
Who's going to be the catcher on opening day next season?
Ooh, I'll go with Henry.
You are confident that this is just an aberration for Brian Reynolds and he'll be back to normal next year?
Pretty much so.
Termar Johnson is still somebody that is highly regarded and will hit for them someday.
No.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Is he going to make the majors at any point?
Oh, yeah, I think he will, but I don't think he'll be an impact player.
When will Connor Griffin get here?
I would say 2027 at the latest, and maybe even at the end of next season.
Percent chance he rockets through the system the rest of this year and is on the opening day roster?
25%.
Holy bird milk. Wow, Limits, do you have a question you'd like to ask at the end here?
That's a lot more than I thought.
Yeah.
Percent chance that Bednar is traded?
75.
Santana?
60.
Tommy Pham?
90 if there's interest.
IKF?
90.
O'Neill Cruz?
10.
Brian Reynolds?
30.
Holy horse milk. Johnny, I have no further questions. That was incredible.
Well, thank you. You know, quick answers. It's the great, late, great John Maynard always said, give quick answers and people won't know whether you're making it up or not.
I like that a lot. Thank you, Johnny.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome, guys. Thanks for having me.
What an incredible man he is, huh, Limits?
He's the best. That was great.
I don't know where to start with that.
Yeah.
I think we need to go back to that in the next segment. I don't even know what just happened.
We could go back to free association and break it down one by one.
Charrington, we don't know how long he signed, but he says through 27, he gets vibes that Charrington could be back next year.
But he doesn't think that Charrington will be back next year when you asked.
Well, in the end, despite the vibes, yes, he says no to him. Tamar Johnson.
What a disappointment. The fourth overall
pick. Oh, my. If they blew it on that, then that's, oh, boy. All right. Brian Reynolds, he didn't sound overly confident, but said he would be. And then Henry Davis, perplexing, he called. And then what did he say on Keller? He feels like Keller's going to be here.
Yeah, he thinks Keller's staying, yes.
And what did he say on Bednar getting traded?
75%.
We have to talk about all of this coming back. I wanted to do cuts and clips, but we're going to have to save that for later in the show.
We will have time for that, too.
Who do we have at noon?
We have cuts and clips at noon.
There you go.
Noah Hyles at 110.
There you go. You're on top of things, Limits, and I give you credit for that.
You know, Joe, well, sometimes when you return, sometimes you need a little bit of a warm-up period, you know, where you got to stretch.
No, you stepped right back in the game and started hitting shots, didn't you?
I did, but were my shots landing? I was Key Brian Hayes. I was making contact, but I was grounding out to shortstop. Now I'm finding gaps. Now I'm back in the game, Joe.
You're Tommy Pham for the last month and a half.
Who's on the move? Another major league trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
Joe, we have a statement from Key Brian Hayes that he has released on Twitter saying,
all right.
Man, where do I begin? I'd like to first start by saying thank you to the Pirates for believing in me as a player by drafting and making my dream come true in 2015. He thanks the fans who supports him through the ups and downs. He also says, I'm forever grateful for the relationships and memories that were created with his teammates and the staff throughout the years, and that he's learned a lot about himself on and off the field that he'll carry with him moving forward. Excited for the next chapter with the Reds, and he wishes the Pirates nothing but the best and continued success in the future, is what he ends
where,
it with.
Where, continued?
Continued success in the future. Where was the success when Key Brian Hayes has been here?
Man. I thought he had a chance, didn't you, to be a star? That first year turned out to be so misleading. He finished sixth in an abbreviated season, right? 2020.
Yeah,
he only played
games.
24 games and somehow still finished sixth in Rookie of the Year because the season was, what, 50-some games?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. 1,024 OPS with a 682 slug and five home runs. Five home runs in 24 games. He's played 196 games the past 2 years and has six home runs. It's incredible. And even in 2023 Limits, he hit 271 with a 762 OPS, 15 homers and 61 ribbies. You give me that every year from a guy who fields the ball like that?
No doubt.
I sign up in blood.
I thought that's the type of player they were getting.
So did I.
You know, like a 60 to 70 RBI guy. Hits home runs in the teens, like right in that 12 to 17 range, 25 doubles a year, and gold glove defense. You would take that every day and have a power position somewhere else. You would take it.
Listen, he's such a good defender that his WAR, his overall rating, is always positive. He was a 4.5 WAR player in 22, 3.9 in 23. And then it's gone down to, you know, right around one.
Yeah, he's 1.2 this year. And that's just because of the defense. He's going to win another gold glove this year. And he's staying in the National League.
Well, the reason it dropped is because of his offense. And it dropped precipitously. And then you throw in the back issues. And you throw in what Pirato talked about, which was he just gave off the vibe that he was kind of miserable. And it was just time. I'm with Johnny, though. The fact that they got Cincinnati to pick up his whole salary. This is addition by subtraction. It just is. What else did Johnny say that we have to revisit? Can you imagine if Tamar Johnson becomes a bust? And, you know, we talk about him because in all these conversations we're having around the trade deadline, we're also projecting other guys, where they fit in the future. Who's going to take this position? Who's going to take that one? Are they waiting on any big-time hitters at the minor league level? To which the answer is no, other than Connor Griffin. And Tamar Johnson should be just about, you know, ripened by now. He should be ready. He was a can't miss number 4 overall pick. the one thing he was going to do is hit, and who knows, I guess he still could, but it ain't looking good, is it?
So he was considered the best prep bat in the entire draft when he was drafted back in 2022, fourth overall. He's hitting .252 this year.
To be fair, to be fair, he's still only 21.
Yeah, but that's better than he hit .237 last year and .244 the year before that. And he doesn't have a lot of power, only 8 home runs in 84 games. He has 25 RBIs this year, Joe, in 84 games.
The only thing I will say is he's only 21, and it's not like he's dropped off the map and is unusable or something. He has a .714 OPS. He does have 8 home runs. He has 17 stolen bases. I'm still very interested in what this guy does. He's still a critic. He should be. Whether it's good or bad, he's a critical part of their future. You know what I mean? He was the number 4 overall pick.
Yeah, he should be. But right now, the production is saying otherwise. Like, we want more power out of some of these guys. Only 8 home runs is not going to cut it. And sure, his strikeout-to-walk ratio is good. 40 walks, 66 strikeouts. He's a good eye, and he's got some speed to him. But again, if he's not consistently driving the ball, only 10 doubles this year, he's not impacting the baseball well enough.
I know. There were guys drafted after him who are pretty good already in the majors. So that's one to track. Johnny feels like Keller's still going to be here. That seems like the predominant opinion right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Whether it's Noah Hyles, Mackey was all over that last week as well. Now Johnny, everybody's basically saying Keller's not going to go, and the National guys are also in lockstep with that.
But they're not always right at the trade deadline. And if somebody steps up with a really good deal, listen, it's the Pirates. So let's not forget the other piece to this is them getting out from under a bunch of money, right? He signed for 3 more years, correct?
Correct.
At over $50 million, I believe?
Yeah, so he's right at $17, $18, and $20 million the next 3 years.
So it's always a possibility when that's the case. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Sunny today and a high of Heath Miller, 83, 65% chance of rain. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. And I want to tell you that the Fan, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA and WAMO 107.3 partnering to support Pittsburgh public school students for the school year by providing stuffed backpacks for the Pittsburgh for PPS. That's hashtag Pittsburgh for PPS backpack drive presented by Target Freight Management. You can support by purchasing backpacks or dropping at a location near you, including Piotta Italian Street Food in Robinson and Northway Mall. For more details, visit 937thefan.com to drop off your donation. Brought to you by GBU Life, life insurance, annuities, and member benefits since 1892. But he does think Bednar's gone. Johnny said he does think that Bednar's going to go. Noah Hyles, let's replay that clip for people. This was from this week at some point. Noah talking about Bob Nutting possibly getting involved in the Bednar situation.
And, I mean, basically, Joe, the surprising thing about this to me is just the fact that what would make it change now compared to previous years when Bednar was potentially held up.
The optics of it all are going to play a little bit of a part in it, right? If he brings in someone, if he trades away David Bednar, a guy that he knows his boss really appreciates, right? But Bob Nutting has gone out of his way to prevent Bednar from getting traded before.
That's fine. Bednar was younger then. Now he's in his 30s. He only has one more year of control left, if I'm not mistaken, right? And the hometown thing only goes so far here. It's about how you play. I mean, people were willing to boo Bednar early last season, right? So that would be ridiculous for Nutting to step in and block a trade or something like that because of David Bednar's hometown roots. If Nutting loves him so much and Bednar loves it here so much, then he can sign back in a year. Okay?
Right. He can come back after 2026, return, sign a free agent contract, or he can sign this team-friendly extension that everybody believes that he's going to sign. He could do basically what Aroldis Chapman did with the Yankees. Remember, they traded him to Chicago and then came back and re-signed?
Right. His final team-friendly act here should be leaving and getting them a bat in return.
But then ultimately coming back a year later.
He could. He could.
Yeah, if he's still effective, why not?
Well, that's
he wants
the other
to take
thing.
Less to come back.
I mean, relief pitchers are like that. They're up and down all the time.
And this is the best that he's been. I mean, we got to remember what David Bednar was last year. There's a reason why he was demoted. There's a reason why there were boos. Like, Bednar last season, maybe it was just a one-off, was not good at all, where many people were wondering, like, what is the future of this guy? And they missed the opportunity to trade him at his highest value. Well, now they have the opportunity to do it again and be able to get a bat, because closers, you can acquire a good piece, a significant piece, if you pair him with something else, too. So you have to move Bednar today by six.
And I would think Santana. And maybe they have something bigger in the works. Greg Brown has been on our station. He goes on with the PM guys every week. He's sort of been intimating this whole time that something big is in the works. Big, big.
I get the sense Ben Cherington is looking to do something big. Talking to him on Sunday on that radio show, he discounted the idea. I mentioned, you know, maybe it just needs a tweak. And he didn't really want to use that word. And he also talked about not trying to trade for a rental. So I think something's brewing. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think he's going to pull a trigger on something.
Now, that was multiple weeks ago, but Greg has sort of continued that line of thinking. So I have to believe, and the story of this trade deadline really is, and it's like a lot of trade deadlines in sports, is that the people who want something are getting asked to give up a lot. So in other words, that the Pirates of the world are holding out for big returns and that it's slow moving. You know, if you read Buster Olney or Jeff Passan, they're reporting that this is an extremely slow moving deadline, which means right when the PM guys come on and right up till 6 o'clock and maybe even a little bit after, news is going to come out on big trades, because finally, you'll get these teams who believe that they can win, and they're right, because in baseball, it's a little bit of a crapshoot once you get to the playoffs. The action may really begin around 5 o'clock limits. That's what Parado said, too. That's what happens every year.
It's always
but
the last
more so,
hour.
More so this year than ever before, it's just been very, very slow moving because of the exorbitant prices that people want. So I don't blame Ben Cherington for looking and asking for something very valuable in return here, for over asking, really. I'm sure that's what he's doing. But at some point, you got to readjust your sights and keep your eyes on the prize here. And the prize is hitting. You have put together a travesty of an all-time hideous lineup, and you need to fix it. You have a surplus of pitching. Trade your pitching to get it. 412-928-9370. Limits, why don't we hit a call or two before the top of the hour?
All right, let's go to Emmanuel in Carnegie. Has been holding patiently.
Hello, Emmanuel.
Hello. Hey, Joe, I 100% agree with you. I think Keller is definitely a piece that we should trade if we can find a bat. I mean, I'm baffled by the people that disagree. You know?
I know, it's crazy. Wouldn't it be nice if Stephen Kwan or Yandy Diaz walked in that locker room tomorrow? I mean, wouldn't that be, it would be like when Derek Bell walked in all those years ago. And I know that didn't work out in the end, but the presence of a truly professional hitter around here would be so refreshing and possibly transformative.
I have some news here on Kwan. So Dennis Lynn is the reporter for the Padres for The Athletic. He reports that the Guardians' asking price for Stephen Kwan included Leo DeVries, who's one of the top prospects in all of baseball. He's the number three prospect in all of baseball. He is going back to the A's in the Mason Miller deal, and that the Guardians also asked for more than just that. So makes you wonder if you could do a Kwan for Keller trade, or how much more you'd have to throw in, Joe.
I'll throw in Santana if I had to. I'll throw in even Bednar. The fact of the matter is, it's a bat that will play for at least 5 days a week.
All three guys, Emmanuel, for Kwan?
No. Two for one. Keller and neither Bednar or Santana. One of the two. Because, well, again, like I was saying, that's a professional bat that we're going to have in the lineup 5 days out of the week.
And Well, hopefully 6 or 7 days, unless Shelty were to come back and implement the old days off policy. Get him off his feet.
Do we still
have that little clip about O'Neill Cruz? A 25-year-old O'Neill Cruz needed to get off his feet earlier this season in the middle of a hot streak, Limits?
Oh, it's in here somewhere.
Getting him off his feet.
There it is.
love that one. Getting him off his feet. What was I going to say? Now I completely forget. He made a good point there, and that's part of the issue here is the asking price for these guys, right? So the Padres gave up their number three prospect.
Padres gave up the number three prospect in all of baseball. Their number one.
Holy bird milk.
They also gave up their number three prospect as well, another top 100 guy, as well as two right-handed pitchers that are ranked 13th and 17th in their organization for Mason Miller and J.P. Sears, who's a starting pitcher.
All right, so when you get to 3 and 4 in the Pirates organ, oh my God. Now, was this from the beginning of the year? Their 3 and 4 prospects are Hunter Barco and Termar Johnson?
This was updated a couple weeks ago.
Termar Johnson is still their fourth-rated prospect?
Yep.
This farm system stinks. This is another reason to fire Charrington.
Uh-huh.
You've Griffin and Chandler, and that's awesome.
And that's it, and they're two top five guys.
Hunter Barco sort of has been a surprise. And then your very best prospects are Termar Johnson, Thomas Harrington, and somebody named Edward Florentino.
Yeah, he's an 18-year-old rapidly moving up the system. But again, you won't see him until way after the Skids
Nick
era.
York is a top 10 prospect?
Yep, he's eighth, and they refused to call him up.
How did this happen, Limits? When Charrington came here, the whole idea was to rebuild the farm system.
There are still believers in the York Peppermint Patty out there, Joe. It's just not this organization.
Man, that is unreal. And then you look at teams in the division, even teams like the Dodgers, like, you know, the storyline with the Dodgers, and there's a lot of truth to it, is they go out and buy rosters. But here's what else they do. They outcompete the Pirates in terms of drafting and developing. And they're never in the top 10 or close to it. The Brewers have three guys in the top 38 in all of baseball, if I'm not mistaken. Limits.
Yeah, they got Jesus Made at 7 overall.
I don't care what their names are.
Luis Peña and, yeah, Cooper Pratt,
thank
a shortstop.
Yeah,
not related 38? To Rob Pratt.
Are you sure about that?
He's 37,
there
and
you
he's
go.
A 20-year-old shortstop.
Three in the top 37. I think they're all shortstops.
And who's at 36? Owen Casey.
Man, would I like to get him.
20 home runs this year.
I cannot believe the state of this farm system. 6 years into a massive rebuild. What a disaster. What an epic disaster Ben Charrington has wrought. At the major league level, at the minor league level, and at every other level. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would have moved off of him way before now.
Johnny said he would have moved off him after last season.
I would have as well. I would have moved off the general manager and the manager, and this has become a wasted season with the golden ticket, Paul Skeens, and we're just going through the passage of time waiting. Just waiting.
This is a disaster. But a couple of trades could improve my outlook. Just a couple. And yes, Owen Casey, there's a bunch of AAA guys who are blocked in their current circumstances. The catcher in the Mariners organization, Harry Ford, who I called Henry Ford yesterday. Inventor of the automobile, right, Limits?
Is he going to invent some offense with this team?
I hope so. Now they need a catcher again. And Ford is a catcher. So there are lots of possibilities. Tell people what's ahead in the clips and quotes segment, will you?
All right. Well, we're going to change gears a little bit. We're going to get a chance to hear some of the things. Well, let's hear one thing that Paul Skeens said about the Ooh. Pirates needing to add and make some moves and what that all entailed. We also have Aaron Rodgers, T.J. Watt, and Cam Hayward with the McAfee Show
yesterday,
Joe.
I like that a lot.
What did they have to say about the state of the team?
Man, Rodgers, he comes to town and he doesn't get the bottom of the roster, does
nope,
he?
Nope.
He gets the head coach, he gets the GM, he gets the star players.
He's not talking to the Scotty
oh my
Millers
God.
Of the world.
Did you see Cabali on there yesterday?
Cabali was. He was Santa Cabali. He was Cabali Claus giving out sandwiches.
That's not all he's given out. Did you hear the interview with Cabali?
I heard parts of it. What did I miss?
Did you hear the end where he talked about what he does with used toilet paper?
No, I probably blocked that out like his son blocks the toilet every day.
That became the big issue on the McAfee Show.
Mm.
Was the whole panel plus people watching their commenters, because Cabali will take that and just throw it out in a regular wastebasket.
We'll take what?
What I just said.
Oh.
Toilet paper. Used.
And throw it in a wastebasket?
Yes.
What?
Yes. Go listen.
How strange is Kabali?
I don't know.
Stranger than we expected.
I don't know. I don't know what the reason for that would be. What would the reason for that be?
I don't know. That doesn't
There's
make much
no
sense.
Toilet nearby?
Well, where is he getting the toilet paper from? So he's not going from the bathroom.
I don't know if he carries it on his person. Go back and listen to the clip. They talked about it for 20 minutes.
I don't want to go back and listen to the clip. I want to stay away from that as possible.
I'm telling you, even McAfee was outraged by this. And Kabali was acting like it was normal. Find the clip and we'll do that too.
Can I throw you another quote?
He was also dropping F-bombs, McAfee, on live television, so be careful.
MLB insider John Morosi.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen relief pitchers dealt at a deadline for more value in all my years covering baseball.
Wow. There you go.
That?
There
Bednar,
you go.
Bednar,
Santana, Majinski,
bat,
Ashcraft.
Bat.
Bring in hitters.
There's your bats.